Thank you, Sister Johnson. You know, the world's going to find out who the Lamb of Glory is one of these days. Psalms 2 says he's going to sit on Zion's hill. The heathen are not going to like that. They don't like it now. But it's going to happen. Amen. We'll be a little bit different tonight. I have worn out a lot. Well, not worn them out, but roughed up a lot of Bibles. Pages come out of them. The notes I wrote in them, I can't read anymore. A lot of them are 48 years. 48 years pastoring here, 3 years before that. And I got to kind of browsing through some of those old Bibles and looking at them. And I had a text I preached way back. I think it was possibly in the 70s. How many of you were born after the 70s? Raise your hand. Oh, you got a lot to learn yet. I think maybe around 75 or 6, that Bible must have been around in those dates. And I got a text I want you to turn to in Jeremiah chapter 13. I spotted it there, and I'm going to preach to you a little bit on an unusual title. The title is Clean Your Girdle. I thought you'd laugh. Clean Your Girdle. By the way, fellas, in the Bible, men wore girdles. Nowadays, we think of it being a feminine thing, but not necessarily. Two of the toughest men you'll read about in the Bible wore leathern girdles. Know who they were? Well, Elijah was one in the Old Testament, and John the Baptist in the New. Amen? So sometimes the word don't mean quite the same maybe today that it used to mean. Maybe pretty close. I want to read an unusual passage here in Jeremiah 13. You know, God sometimes makes his servants do unusual things. And he does it, I believe, to get attention and to give an object lesson. And that's what he does in the portion that we're going to read here by Jeremiah. Jeremiah's given an unusual command, and he follows it. Preachers have found out through history and some of them in more recent history, like in the last 100 years, 200 years, have done some strange things that God's bidden. And yet we look back and see it was God that told them to do it. And I don't have time to mention some of them, but let's look at it here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was given an unusual command. Thus saith the Lord unto me, Jeremiah, go and get thee a linen girdle. Now this was not leather, it's linen. And put it upon the lawns, thy lawns, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my lawns. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy lawns, and arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. Now, if you'll do your map searching, you'll find out that was 250 miles away. Told him to take the girdle and go bury it in a hole in the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. I'd probably take about a week walking. I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and digged, apparently it was in the dirt, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imaginations of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as thy girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory. But crossing the street, the little word but always crosses the street to the opposite. And the opposite is, but they would not hear. Now, this is a strange order for the preacher to receive. Can you just imagine the talk of the town when Jeremiah done this? You reckon they said he's gone nuts? We knew he was going sooner or later go off the deep end. He's just a religious fanatic anyway. Can you hear the gossip going on? I can. I guarantee you I can. But you know, he went 250 miles away. Probably took a week. Heard all the people talking, and I suspect there were some along the way. No, they probably didn't have cell phones, but they moved the word right on anyway. Person to person, probably. And people begin to talk. And then he's told to go back and dig it up. And it's rotten. It wasn't leather, it was linen. By this time, it was rotten. So the question comes, why would God do this? What's he talking about? What's his object lesson? What kind of truth is he trying to get across? And he tells us right here in the passage. He talks about how the girdle is something close to you, something next to your body, something that has a close relationship with you. And what God wanted with Israel, he wanted a close relationship, a personal relationship. And he was trying to say, that's what I wanted, but you let it rot. You're not doing right. I wanted to bring you in, but you wouldn't. You want to go after your idols and your false gods over here and do your wrong things. And he was teaching them by an object lesson. And see, that got recorded by Jeremiah, and we're still studying it tonight. And we can still learn quite a bit from it even tonight. There's an analogy here, of course, no doubt about it. And what does it mean? It says, tell them, and that's what he says in the text, tell Israel you are the girdle. That girdle represents you. It represents the relationship that you're supposed to have with me, but you've broken that relationship. And think about it here just a little bit, and I'm going to do a little application, a little bit of analogy, and bring it to us. You know, I believe with all my heart, God would like to renew a relationship with America. We've had it in the past. I mean, God had to be with us through the things America's gone through from its very beginning. But we'd be dishonest to think we're as close to God as we used to be. Sure we're not. But it'd be a wonderful thing. I want to tell you something. God would like to have us back. He'd take us back if we'd give him the opportunity to. But he'll take us back on his terms, not ours. Not the world's, but on his. And I believe he would. I want to also bring it down, though, not only to our nation, but I want to talk to us tonight, personally, our relationship. God wants every one of us, if we're saved, born again tonight, to have a very close relationship with him. And we can be just like Israel. We can stray from the Lord. And so the object lesson will also fit us tonight also. To begin with, the girdle here, the analogy means God wants us close. Wants us to be intimate. Do you know, and I'm talking to God's best on Sunday night, you brave the hot weather and the poor air conditioning in your back. Some of you had to be because we'd flunk you out of college if you didn't come, but the rest of you pretty much volunteered. Now, I'm joking with young men on the front somewhat, but the truth of the matter is God wants us to be close and intimate with him. Now, you know, it's possible to be so busy for God that you even break that closeness. It's really easy. You can get to working for God. And you know what the girdle represents? A man would put on the girdle sort of like a work harness. You see the picture of the hotel up here when the men were working up on the top of that roof. And boy, it is a thrill to be up there. I've been up there. But you know what? They had to wear a girdle up there. Now, we might not have called it a girdle, we called it a harness, but that harness was very important. And it had to cling pretty close to the body, and the rope had to be hooked or you'd go off that place. And so it was a place that was very, very important, and you wanted to keep it just right. And though we get busy for God, we do our best work when we're closest to God. Not when we pull away from him, but close to him. I want to say to you, as a Sunday school teacher, you'd be busy for the Lord. Don't get pull away from him. Get closer to him. You'll do your work better if you're closer to him. You'll be a better deacon if you're closer to him. You'll be a better choir member if you're closer to him. You'll be a better bus worker if you're closest to him. And in fact, if you're not close to him, pretty soon the work will get to be drudgery. And you won't like it. And you'll get to where you just burn out in the very work of God. It's so easy to do that. And you say, well, what do I do? When I begin to feel I burn out, my answers get closer to God, not get away from him. I found this out when I was a kid, when mama got out to me with a Georgia peach tree switch. Don't run from her, because that thing would reach around the corner of the house and get you. Seemed that way. She'd get you by the arm and be merry-go-round. And she could ply that switch. I found out, don't pull away from mama, pull up to mama. Get close as you can. Mama, I love you. And it took the leverage out of it. It was pretty hard to do that thing. Now, I'm trying to give you an illustration. The closer you get to God, the better things go. And the girdle was something intimate. It was something close and it's important. You remember the story in the Bible, I think, about Luke chapter 10, the two sisters, Mary and Martha? Remember when Jesus was there and how Martha got all cumbered about in the kitchen and came fussing because Mary was at the feet of Jesus? Remember the story? And Jesus told Martha, you're cumbered about by all kind of things, but Mary is doing the best thing. She's drawing closer to me. That's a hard lesson for us to learn. I have that problem. I've had it through my whole ministry. I'm the kind of guy, I want to get my hands on something and fix it. And some people I'd like to get my hands on, but that's not legal either. But the truth of the matter is, I'd like to get it done. But sometimes you get it done best by sitting at the feet of Jesus and getting closer to him. And that's something we all have to look out for. I have to fight that. I admit that. I've fought it through the years. But the girdle can represent getting close to the Lord. It can also represent our work for Jesus, because it is a work girdle. You see a carpenter with a tool belt on. You see different workers with certain gear on, and that's understandable. And sometimes it's put on for strength, and it helps. No doubt about it. Sometimes it holds tools, don't it? They have a belt. They're much more efficient and effective with the tools than they'd be without them. So they carry them, as it were, on the girdle. I tell you something else they hooked to the girdle in the Bible days, and that was a sword, a fighting tool. You're going to do your best fighting for the Lord when you're closest to him. I've seen time and time again when it looked like the battle was lost. It looked like the world, the devil, and the flesh was going to get the victory. And then God pulled out a surprise victory that people couldn't understand. I'll tell you something. In the battle, you want to be close to the Lord. Keep the sword hooked to the girdle. And what is the sword? The Bible is the sword. Sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 tells us it's a two-edged sword. And if we're going to work for the Lord, we do our best job staying close to him. I tell you something else the girdle held. It held money. Now run your antenna up. You ought to keep your money close to the Lord. Somebody says, well, I need some financial advice. Go to the Bible. Go to God's word. Go see what God says about it. Make him a business partner. You can't lose that way. That's the way to do it, folks. And the truth is that the girdle also was a place sometimes that kept the money pouch. And we want to keep close to the Lord. The girdle was something that sometimes was for our mental sake. I mean, it looked good. I don't know exactly what John the Baptist's leather girdle looked like or Elijah's. I know one thing, the king, when he sent a message, sent some messengers out and they found Elijah and came back, he said, what do you look like? He said, well, he's a hairy man. He's got on a leather girdle. He said, that's Elijah. It identified him. There's too many of God's people today afraid to be identified with the Lord. And that old girdle, that old leathern girdle of Elijah, it certainly did identify him. And maybe it was somewhat for oriental looks. I mean, you know, what we got going on today, and I hate to say it, but truth is we've moved a long way from the old days when preachers ripped and roared on being separate from the world. You know, I think back in the 70s. Now, I'm glad some of these things aren't true. Back in those days, boys started wearing long hair. That's where the homosexual movement got its start, back in those years of coming out of the closet and being public. And preachers like myself and others, we ripped and roared on it, maybe over much sometime. And girls wearing miniskirts. And I think about the little girl that got lost in the department store. And finally got the manager, and he said, I think I know where your mother is. I'll take you back. Said, now this time when I get you to your mother, I want you to hold on to her skirt. The little girl said, I can't reach it. Now you get the point? The point is, those days, by the way, it's coming back in a lot of cases. You see it on TV and all the rest of it. But the truth is, somebody started to lie that it don't matter what the outside looks like. Yes, it does. The outside is the signboard to the rest of the world. The outside, oh, God looks on the appearance. That's fine. But man does look on the outward appearance. And it ought to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and men, both. I'm not a Pharisee when it comes to the rules, but I want to tell you something. We ought to respect the Lord. We ought to respect His house. We ought to respect, if we got to claim we know Jesus, then we ought to look like we know Jesus. We ought to smell like we know Jesus. We ought to talk like we know Jesus. It ought to be a testimony for Him. You're not going to win anybody to the Lord if you look like you're living for the devil. So, well, I'm not, but if you look like it, that's what you're advertising. We ought to be wise to that. We ought to be careful about that. The girdle here was a place the tools was hooked to. The money, it was an outward thing that people could see. It was seen by others. And if some of you say, oh, he's legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm biblical. The truth is, the Bible talks about the attire of a harlot. Now, that's still true today. Go to the big cities. In fact, you can sometimes see it right here in our little city. Go to the big cities, and you'll see the harlots on the street, and nobody will have to say that's a harlot. That's a prostitute. They're out there selling their body. Nobody will have to tell you that. The way they dressed will tell you that. And we don't dress like them if we're not one. Amen and amen. I thought that'd be popular. The truth is, churches ought to have rules. I can't make everybody dress right that comes in this building, but the ones in the choir I can. And the ones up here singing specials I can. And the one that teaches my Sunday school class I can. And the ones that go out on my bus route I can. Say, how can you make them? You can stop them if they don't. Right? Amen. Listen, this is the church Jesus shed his blood to build. It's his. I want to represent him, not the world. And that's been lost. It is lost. I've very seldom taken a vacation. A time or two, I have been in a church through 48 years here when I just had to stop and go to a Baptist church somewhere. And I've seen some singers on the platform. I don't care if they were singing Amazing Grace. That's not what the men in the audience was thinking about. Help yourself. There ought to be a testimony presented, wholesome and right and biblical and scriptural. Amen? The truth of the matter is the girdle here can represent our work for the Lord. And I want to say this about the girdle. It got dirty. Girdles get dirty. Clothes get dirty. Harnesses get dirty. The girdle got dirty. And I think about knowing about some dirty girdles. We went over to Russia in the 90s when Perestroika was on, and when we first began, the Iron Curtain began to crack, and we were able to go over there and get in the Bibles and meet with the underground church. And the underground church in Russia at that time was put us to shame. The kids up quoting scripture like ours don't to that degree. Dressing right, serving God. And it was a blessing, it was a thrill. Later on, all kind of cults and isms and everything got in there and messed a lot of it up. I got a letter. I had not been home very long. Brother Lee back there, you remember this. Those first trips we made. I got a letter after just a few months had passed, and so many others were going in, and some of them independent Baptist churches. Some of them going in with teen groups. And while that seemed like a good thing, I got a letter from one of those Russian preachers. It's probably somewhere in my office yet. And he said, Brother Carter, please tell these preachers, when they bring their teen groups in, to have them dress right. From America. Please tell them when they come in to not bring the so-called Christian rock music in. That's what the Russian preachers wrote me. One of them said in the letter, he said, when we were imprisoned, the guards would torture us by making us listen to the same kind of beat that American teenagers are bringing back in to our country now. What a terrible, terrible testimony that was. But it's true. It was true. No doubt about it, it was. But you know, the girdle gets dirty. You say, how do you wash your girdle? Your spiritual girdle gets washed by the Word. If you were to go over to Ephesians about chapter 5 and read verse 26, I'll read it to you. It says over there that he might sanctify, talking about the church now, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Somebody says, well, it don't do me any good to read the Bible because I just can't remember it. Read it anyhow. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. If the Word goes through you, it'll wash. Kid went to work for a farmer, and the farmer told him, said, take this container down to the creek and bring the water back. Well, every time the kid would dip the thing in the creek, he wouldn't get but about 10 foot, and it would leak out. Farmer said, do it again. So he went, he dipped it again, sure enough, get just a few feet back and it all leaked out. Done it again. Kid said, what's the point? Farmer said, now look at the container and see how clean it is. We need to bring the Word right on through. Even if you don't retain it long, by the way, more will stick than you think will stick. But it'll do a cleansing job on us. Amen. That's why it's good to read your Bible. Read your Bible. It'll do a cleansing job. What is 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Read the Word of God. It'll have an effect on you. It'll have an effect on you. I'll tell you, some of you got dirty girdles because you just don't read much Bible. You get some from the pulpit. You're halfway thinking about what you're going to do and what the preacher's saying at the same time. Some of you get about half cleansed, what you ought to get. The sad truth is that we got our minds on everything else. The Word of God will do a cleansing from the inside out. And we need that. We need that. We need to wash the dirty girdles. And then the girdle was bared. He put it in a hole in the rock. Sound like it was in the dirt here, reading the text. And it was put away. Do you know what a dirty girdle will do? It'll cause God to put you away. It won't take you, he won't take your salvation, but he'll sure take your usefulness away. The Bible says, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord, be clean. How many of you, if you went home, how many of you, well, I don't know, things change. How many of you had breakfast at home this morning? Raise your hand. I'm not going to dig too deep on that. But if you went home at noon, and your wife took the same dishes you ate breakfast out of, and they're sitting on the table, but they had not been washed. Now, don't tell me she done that. I don't think you'd like that. I wouldn't like that. And God don't like that. We ought to be clean. If we're going to serve the Lord, we ought to be clean. We ought to represent him well. And that's what I'm talking about. Now, the girdle was buried here. God laid it aside. He had Jeremiah lay it aside. He was making a point. Do you know that God is sometimes in the business of laying even his servants aside? Didn't he lay Moses aside on Mount Nebo? Moses got his girdle dirty. That crowd finally caused Moses to blow his cool. And he's supposed to speak to the rock, and he smote the rock, remember? And he couldn't cross into the promised land. He got laid aside. Got laid aside as great as he was in God's service. How about Samson? Samson never did what God intended for him to do. Deliver. He delivered more. He delivered the battle better in his death, committing suicide with the Philistines. He was a dirty girdle. He'd messed up his testimony. You go to the New Testament, there's a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, remember? Remember how they went in church and lied to the Holy Spirit? And God killed them. Now, they may not kill that easy today, but I think some folks get killed today and nobody wants to admit what happened. I think it's true. I was youth leader a few years after I got saved. Started off with 11-year-old boys class and then moved on up teens. And had a pretty good youth group. Some of them are missionaries and preachers today. I praise God for that. All of them didn't make it. Some of them got their girdles dirty. And I'm thinking of one. He was talented. He was a good-looking boy. He was talented. He could get up and bring you a good Bible lesson in our teen group. And he was doing well. Then I got to noticing he was missing. And I'd go check on him, get him back, but he'd start missing again. Finally, his brother told me. See, he was a talented kid. He could play some instruments. He could sing. His brother told me, said, "Preacher, he's going off on Saturday night with a band, with a group." And that got a hold of him. And finally, he just was pretty well quitting church. He had a younger brother, still in the teen group. I was worried about him following him. So I'd visit on him pretty regular. And I remember very well going out on Saturday afternoon, because it was on Saturday nights that he was performing in the band and missing Sundays. And I talked to him real plain that day. He hung his head and he said, "Brother Mickey, I know you're right, but they're dependent on me." That sort of thing. And I felt like I went as far as I could on warning him that God chastens those that he loves. If you belong to him, he loves you enough to correct you. And finally, if you won't be corrected, lay you aside. That's what happened with the girdle here. It was buried. It was laid aside. And I remember getting the word on Sunday morning that that young man, that talented young man, coming back in, wee mornings of the hour from the band playing and stuff he was doing that night, foggy like it can get in Florida sometime, and he missed a curve. And he hit a pole head on. We visited him in the hospital. He lay between heaven and earth for about 3 or 4 days. But he died. He died. Oh, we hated that. One of the biggest funerals up to that time I had ever seen in that church. He was a popular young person. But I'll tell you what come out of it. His younger brother got really right with God and stayed the rest of his life right with God. Serving God. I want to say to you, God sometimes just lays the girdle aside, just bears it, said, "Just park it over here. No more good for now. I'll call you on home." Say you believe that happens? Yeah, I believe I've seen it happen. I believe the case I just told you about, I believe it happened. You know, you may be one of those girdles, so to speak, that's laid aside. And you say, "Well, why'd God lay me aside?" Well, when did you leave God? Did you leave God because you quit tithing and decided that you didn't have to do that? Let me ask you, did it get better when you quit? Or are you in a bigger mess now? You're in a bigger mess now. I can tell you on the authority of God's word, you're in a bigger mess now. I'll tell you something else too. When you stop going to church, it don't get better. It gets worse. It gets worse every time. Every time. Maybe you got your girdle dirty and God bared it when you changed your friends and started going back to the old crowd. Not running with the same folks anymore. Now you're not comfortable in the church crowd. You're just comfortable in that crowd. Does anybody here tonight feel like God has bared their girdle? That they've gotten it dirty? You know, God here wanted Israel back. He wanted them back. That's why he gave Jeremiah this object lesson. That's why he told him to do this odd thing. He wanted that relationship back with Israel. God wants his relationship back with us. If we've strayed, it was us that strayed. We're the ones that's left. The man and woman riding in the car, and she's sitting over at the door, and he's on the wheel, and she said, "Honey, do you remember when we were dating and we were first married?" Said, "I sit over there side of you, like both of us was driving the car." She said, "What happened to us?" He said, "I'm sitting in the same place I always was." And God is sitting in the same place he always was. You're the one needs to move back. Right? Oh yeah, God's still right. The further we get from him, the more wrong we are. Amen? I'm saying to you tonight, this is a little analogy here. Just what God gave Jeremiah for Israel, it would fit America. It would fit you and I. Now here's the good part. God is where he's always been. Amen. Think about probably the best known story in the Bible is the prodigal son. Right. What did he do? He left. The father stayed. And if you look at the father's heart, I believe he was always looking down the road for him to return. Amen. And God's always looking down the road for us to return. We can come back. We can come back. Got to want to come back. Got to be willing to come back. We can come back. He'll let us come back. He'll welcome us. Yes, with the father, with the fatted calf and the ring and all the rest of it, God's got the best still waiting on you. If you're way off tonight, you say, "I've gone too far too long." It'll get worse and worse until you make that turn. What have you quit doing you used to do? Good thing. I'm talking about on Sunday night. I'm talking about to the best of God's people here. Let's be careful that we keep our girdle washed. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in prayer asking you a blessing on us. We're all prone to wonder, Lord. The song says, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Father, that's the flesh. That's the devil's pull. We know it. We're all subject to it. But help us, Father, to be willing to have clean girdles and a clean relationship, a close relationship with you. Help us, Father, if we've got off in some old dirty hole somewhere and we become marred, Lord, help us to turn and come back to you. Bless the invitation tonight, Father. I haven't preached the gospel to the lost. If there's some here unsaved, if they'll come forward, we'll take a Bible and show them how to be saved. But Father, I preach to your people that we might keep a clean fellowship with you. Bless the invitation now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus.